Charles Mills looks at several ways we can easily misunderstand the Bible and how he has come to accept it as God's word to him. Your narrator is Jordan Church. Sometimes being a Christian can be downright challenging. You worship God, read the Bible, and trust that someone, somewhere, is listening to your prayers. Then your best friend dies. Suddenly God, prayer, and trust become clouded by grief. Bible promises that once buoyed your spirits now weigh you down with doubt. How could this happen? You cry. Where is God when I need him most? To add insult to injury, friends fresh from the book of Job show up on your doorstep to remind you that the God you worship, the God of the Bible, is nothing more than a figment of human imagination, and that life with or without him grinds along exactly the same. Since belief didn't save your friend, they insist, why believe? Surprisingly, the answer to this question isn't found in the Bible, not directly anyway. How do we know this? Because many sincere people have read God's word and remained totally unchanged when it comes to their level, or lack, of faith. Others have studied Holy Writ and found motivation to maim or kill thousands of their fellow human beings. Still others have examined Scripture and become transformed, ready to share God's love with the world. Very same words, very different responses. How is such a diversity of outcomes possible? Allow me to share what I've discovered concerning this particular challenge of Christian living. First, there was something I needed to accept about God's word. The Bible, in and of itself, is powerless. It's just words on paper. I'd go searching for God among its many chapters and verses and return disappointed. He wasn't there. Instead, I found stories and illustrations about God, but no words from God directed specifically to me. Second, on those rare occasions when I thought I'd read a passage that remotely applied to the actual situation I was facing, I discovered that I had a hard time using it as an effective tool to help me cope or fix whatever was wrong. Very frustrating. That's when I decided that something was fundamentally flawed with my approach to hearing God's words in God's word. I needed a different perspective, a discrete foundation on which to stand whenever I opened his holy book. Seems I was right. While God did attempt to speak to me through the pages of the Bible, there were some powerful barriers muting his voice. Those barriers may sound familiar to you as well. The first one is tough to understand. I had to ask myself whether my belief in the Bible is based on the outcome of various events in my life. I wrote the outline for this article while sitting in a hospital chapel, waiting for my precious wife to come out of emergency surgery. I found myself thinking, if this doesn't end well, how can I continue to believe in what the Bible says about God's protection? Is he too busy watching the sparrows fall to notice my little wife under all those sterile wraps and surrounded by stacks of blinking machines? See what I mean? I continually have to force myself to remember that life on this sin-filled planet is a series of random, chaotic events, some good, some horrible. To base my belief in God's word on personal outcomes is to invite doubt and fear to flood my heart. Truth is, bad things happen. Period. I must believe God's words are true and valid in spite of what happens. The sword cuts both ways. Good things happen to bad people as well. Murderers and rapists also heal spontaneously in hospital rooms, but no one calls it a miracle. Adulterers catch breaks that help them hide their transgressions, but no one considers that God is leading in their lives. Lying co-workers get promoted. Drug lords live like kings. To further muddy the waters, consider this. During a hillside chat on the shores of Galilee, Jesus spoke of a strange, to us, habit of our Heavenly Father. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. So if we're waiting around to gather enough warm, fuzzy evidence of God's love for those of us who believe in his word, we must be careful. God, it seems, loves everyone. He's endlessly trying to inject traces of joy and hope into the worst offender's life, as well as the lives of his most devout worshippers. God doesn't love us because we're good. He loves us because we're human. Remember, the devil also offers much appreciated rewards to those doing things his way. However, when it comes to sin, all those warm fuzzies have a definite expiration date. So belief must exist without supportive evidence. The Bible puts it this way: Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Have you ever gotten just a little envious of pious people? They seem to have all the answers and go through life blindly confident in God's leading. They see his hand in everything. One woman told me that she always asks God what she should prepare for supper and what she should wear that will please her husband. To her, everything that's said, everything that happens, every twist and turn in life is a result of God's direct leading. That makes me wonder why the Creator bothered to give human beings brains. If he was going to make all the decisions for us, why would we need the ability to think? So while what happens to you can serve as a learning illustration for me, I must not base my belief on your or anyone else's experience, good or bad. Which brings us to the most challenging barrier of all. Am I to assume that everything that happens to me is evidence of God's leading or rejection in my life? Whenever I feel this way, I read the Old Testament writings of King David. This guy was all over the playing field, sometimes scoring glorious goals, sometimes crashing and burning big time. He seemed to bounce from God is with me to God has rejected me on a daily basis. To base my belief in God's word on personal experience is to place both God and me on a never-ending roller coaster. How I react to a situation depends on where I happen to be on the great emotional ride of life. I need to remember that God isn't the roller coaster. Life is the roller coaster. God simply offers to go along for the ride. So what's the key to believing that the Bible is God's revelation to us if, as we've discovered, the answer requires more than words on paper? A short time before his departure from earth, Jesus introduced someone to his disciples who would fully unlock the Bible's meaning to the world. This ever-abiding presence would be available to labor in partnership with us, transforming those ancient collections of words and promises into practical guidelines and endless encouragement, all tailor-made for us individually. Listen to what Jesus said: "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will guide you into all truth." John chapter 14, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 8 and 13. Who will convict the world? Who will teach us all things? Who will guide? Not a collection of ancient texts alone. Jesus put it this way: "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." John chapter 5, verse 39. Remember, the Bible is easily misinterpreted, with devastating results. But when that same Bible is read and studied in earnest partnership with the Holy Spirit, ancient words take on new, powerful, and fresh meanings, distinct and tailor-made, shaped specifically for our individual needs. Only with the Counselor's guidance can searching souls be led to Jesus, humankind's only source of salvation. Someone once asked me, if an atheist were to challenge you to prove to him that the Bible was God's word, what would you say? I'd say I couldn't do it. But I could tell him or her, "Listen, friend, this book works for me because the Holy Spirit is using it to teach me things I need to know about my life, lessons that can be applied to my own unique and personal day-to-day existence." Then I'd add with a smile, "You might want to try it too. Open God's Word and invite the Holy Spirit to be your guide. What happens next may surprise you." I invite you to do the same.